I really love that song, and I look forward to when I get to heaven when I can sing it the right way. I always come in a little too early here or a little too late there or something, but the words to that song are just so powerful and so strong. 56% of Americans say that normally don't go to church. 56% of Americans that don't go to church would say, if someone would invite me, a friend or a family member, I would go to a Christmas service. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, whatever. But why aren't they going? Because they're not being asked. I know we had on the bulletin board earlier this year, and I've had it over the years from time to time, 6% of people that come to church are invited by the pastor. 86% of the people that come to church are invited by friends or family. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop asking people to come, okay? But they look at me and they say, well, you're the pastor. That's your job. That's what you get paid to do. They want to know that somebody cares that isn't getting paid to care. They want to hear from you. They'll come if you ask them a whole lot more often than if I ask them. So, they're just waiting to be asked. The problem is most of us, are never asking them. But I'm glad that you guys are here tonight, each and every one of you. I know some of you are regular attenders here. Some of the kids come to Good News Club. And the rest of you, we're glad you're here. We wish you were here more often. Thank you for coming tonight. If you think back to our video, we never find out the little boy's name. We know that the neighbor's boy is Justin. But we don't know what his name is. But if you look at our nativity scene, I think he's been here. Do you think maybe Justin has our Jesus? May have to get the angel squad out and see if they can put out an APB and find, well, why don't we just go next door and knock on Justin's door, because that's probably where he is. And Mary said in our video tonight, she said, this is why he came, to be poured out for many. We will each do well to re-gift him all we can. Okay, we're in church now, so you got to be honest. Re-gifting. How many? I got a couple good laughs already. How many of you have re-gifted at some time or other? We didn't say open your mouths, just raise your hands. That's it. That's all. Out of the mouth of babes, right? Love it. Well, back in the day when I was these guys' age, I had an Aunt Sylvia. And Aunt Sylvia was famous for her fruitcake. And I don't know how many fruitcakes were in the cycle or if it was just one that kept going around year after year after year. I don't know. But even as a youngster, I understood what re-gifting was, because nobody was going to cut into that fruitcake. Nobody. It might still be floating around out there somewhere. I don't know. Maybe one of my sisters kept it for a joke. I have no idea. I'm sure it doesn't have any mold on it. I don't know what in the world Aunt Sylvia would put in those fruitcakes, pound cakes, whatever you called them. But if there's anything in your life, and if you know Jesus, you know that you need to re-gift him. And he is the one gift that the more you re-gift him, the more you share in the blessing of that re-gifting. And what a privilege it is to tell others about Jesus. Jesus is the one gift that we were meant to give away. Tell me something. When was the last time that you were genuinely excited to give somebody a gift? We have a granddaughter, and she's getting older and too mature now to admit it, but as a younger girl, when she and her mom would buy one of her cousins a birthday gift, and they would come to Nana and Pappy's house for the birthday party in between, this granddaughter, she was just like this. She was so excited. She just couldn't wait because she knew what that gift was. And she just couldn't wait for her cousin to open that gift because she knew that was the perfect gift for that cousin. She was just so excited about it. It's one of those things I almost wish that we had a video camera to have recorded it forever. I mean, it is forever here and here, but genuinely excited because she got to pick a gift for a cousin that she knew that cousin would like. We need to get that excited about regifting Jesus. Romans 12 talks about we weep with those that weep and we rejoice with those that rejoice. And I love using the example as being in the military, you were up and going for a promotion at the same time with somebody of the same rank sitting right in the desk next to you. And if when the release date came and they told who got promoted and they got it and you didn't, depending on the person and the personality, sometimes it was easy to be genuinely happy for them. But God's word doesn't say sometimes. I was always supposed to rejoice with them. I was always supposed to be happy with them that they got promoted, even if I didn't. And then there was times where, shock of all shocks, my name was on the list. I was like, wow, how'd that happen? But to be genuinely excited. Hey, have you ever found a good restaurant and you just love burritos or guacamole or steak or lobster or chicken or whatever your favorite of all time is, and this new restaurant just knocks it out of the ballpark. It's a grand slam. You've never tasted it this good before. It's never been that good. And you go to work the next week, and how many people do you tell about it? Nobody? You're telling everybody about it. Man, that new restaurant, that chicken was out of this world. Man, that was good. And we want to tell people about the chicken, but we don't want to talk to them about eternal life and share with them. This kind of been a theme that keeps coming up as we've been going through the book of Genesis, and it's come right into the Advent season, right into Christmas here. Is how we need to be telling others. We need to be giving our faith away. We need to be sharing Jesus Christ with those around us. And again, just as Mary said in our video, this is why he came, to be poured out for many. We will each do well to re-gift him all that we can. This is the only gift that multiplies when you share it. And as we looked at the reading that Max read in Luke 2. Make sure I got the right verses here. Talking about the shepherds, and the angel came and stood before them and told them. It's always interesting, the angel, I don't know what kind of dudes those angels are, but they must be kind of scary or something, because every time in the Bible talks about an angel coming, presenting themselves, it says, do not be afraid. Obviously, it was something unusual, so it would be out of the ordinary, so it might frighten you. I get that, because it's not normal, okay? But they came, and they told the shepherds, and the shepherds went. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child, and all who heard it wondered all the things which were told them by the shepherds. They did their part, at least initially, right after the event. They told everybody they encountered. Bright light, angels, woo, lots of them. And then we went and we saw the Messiah as a baby in a manger. Not in some big palace. The medical staff? There wasn't any. For this delivery? A bunch of smelly animals around. It wasn't the prettiest of settings. But the Savior of the world humbled himself and became obedient. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to come to Philippians 2 in a few minutes here. This gift must be shared. There is joy in regifting Jesus. We know the story in Acts 2 of Philip talking to the Ethiopian eunuch and explaining the scriptures to him. It says that the Ethiopian eunuch accepted Christ and he went away rejoicing. There is joy in receiving Jesus, and there's joy in sharing Jesus. And there's a cost and the reward of giving him away. Turn to Philippians, if you have your Bibles. If not, just listen, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. When you get that idea down, then it's a lot easier to be really happy for that person that sits next to you that got the promotion and you didn't. If you will remember that other person is more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. That last song that we sang, talking about holy, his name is holy. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Nowhere in there does it say that we should have unity of your mind. It doesn't say that we should have unity of my mind. It says we should have unity in the mind of Christ, in the heart and the humility of Christ becoming a man for us, coming knowing that he was going to die on the cross for us, that he would arise victorious over sin. And we can just leap right to Easter, because that's why he came. I know some of these guys over here are concerned we're going to skip Christmas now and go right to Easter. I saw the panic look on some of your faces. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. You know, and it doesn't say that just the knees of those that believe on Jesus are going to bow to him. Some are going to bow out of bitterness, out of animosity, but they will bow. Every knee will bow. Every tongue, whether you believe in God, whether you believe in his son Jesus Christ or not, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. So get on the right side of it. Get on the right side of it that you can enjoy the blessings of God in your life now. To humble ourselves, to become obedient, and to re-gift Jesus. just so nobody is too worried or concerned about this. Justin brought him back. Pass the gift along. I know we share a lot of gifts this time of the year. But share the gift of Jesus. We must. We must do it. It's our responsibility to do it. How is our neighbor supposed to hear unless we tell them? Oh, maybe they'll see a Christmas special. No. You're still on the hook. You're still on the hook and responsible for telling that person about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, this is such a special time of the year. And I know one thing that you've been telling me in my own study and quiet time is to slow down. To quit the speed reading. To slow down and spend time with you. Father, as I do that and I learn to love you more, it makes me want to share you more. And Father, unfortunately, the statistics bore out tonight. You know those that I invited to come tonight, not one of them's here. I blame that partly on Satan. I blame that partly on the fact that I'm the pastor and people say, yeah, that's what you get paid to do. But Father, some way we got to get your word through to these folks that need Jesus, that they need to hear about you. They need to know what you did for us by sending your Son. And oh, Father, thank you for doing that. Thank you for the holiness of that little baby that came as the Messiah to the Jewish nation and as Savior to the Gentiles. Thank you for the promises in your word. Thank you for your love, Father. As we close this service, let our hearts praise your name, reflect on you. So much be in love with you that we can't help but share you with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Gary and Don, would you take your candles back to